So this is our last of the series, Grace Series, and I could not go through the rest. I've enjoyed the series. How about you? Hey, there y'all are. Good morning. Welcome, everybody. The service just started. So I enjoyed the series. I could not finish the series. Obviously, we could stay on grace and the topic of grace for another 12 more weeks. But grace is so awesome, isn't it? God's grace. And I couldn't do the series justice if I didn't at least visit the Luke 15 text and the prodigal son. It reminds me so much of us. All of us have been saved by grace. If you haven't, you can maybe get saved today. Give your heart to Jesus. Find the grace of God and the goodness of God. But how many would say this morning, the Lord has been good to you? Now, that's grace. He didn't have to be. And as I studied this text and I read this text and I preached this text before, more and more comes out to me, revelation, that I always just get more and more out of it. How many know if you'll put something into the Word of God, the Lord will get you something out of the Word of God? And so let's turn to Luke 15, 11 through 32, final lesson, and the prodigal son, right? And so let's go and look at it. Jesus continued. This is a time where Jesus is talking. He's teaching, talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are not happy that Jesus is eating and meeting with sinners, and they have an issue. I mean, Pharisees have issues. So before you go knocking a Pharisee, be careful, be careful, be careful. We may have a few in here. And before you knock the prodigal, be careful, be careful. We may have a few in here. And before you go knocking the elder brother, be careful, careful. We may have a few in here. Amen? And if it's not applicable to you, just it'll go online and some other church somewhere else might be ministered to this morning. But it is possible that God can speak. How many came for the Lord to speak to you today? There you go. Open your ears and let's see what God says. Jesus continued. There was a man. He's telling the story of two sons. And there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me. That sounds like today's church. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property, the father did, between the two boys. And not long after that, the younger son got together at all that he had, probably the blessings of the Lord. He took from the house of the Lord, and he set off for a distant country, and there is where he squandered his wealth in wild living, wild living. He was in the father's house. He left the father's house, and he squandered what he had collected in wild living. And after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country where he went, way far away, and he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, a pagan country, a godless country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He is no longer in Israel. Okay. And so he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, how many know America could use a little bit of that right now? A little common sense. When you come to your senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. More to the story, while he was still a long way off. I love this part of the story. How many like this part of the story? While he was still a long ways off. It's a lot of scripture, but hang in there. Some of you need a lot of scripture. While he was still a long ways off, his father saw him as Boaz saw Ruth last week. Remember that? And was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him on the cheek. It's kind of a holy kiss, a greeting that they did. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said, enough with that, boy. To his servants, he said, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Glory to God. For this son of mine who was dead is alive again. And he who was lost is found. So they began to celebrate. Oh, but here's the third part of the story. Meanwhile, the older son, are you getting the story so far? Three sons. One son was the prodigal. One son was proud. And one was pleasing son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. It wasn't Assembly of God Church. They don't dance. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? What's going on over here? Your brother's come home, he replied, and your father's killed the fattened calf because he's back safe and he's sound, he's alive. And the older brother became angry and refused to go into the party. So his father went out and pleaded with him, aren't you glad to have a gracious father? When you don't go in, he goes out. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Really? Really? Is that who you think you are? You think you're the slave to your father? What a misrepresentation. I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you gave me not even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. I think that's pretty interesting. We'll touch on it. But when his son, when this son of yours, who has squandered your poverty with prostitutes, he adds, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? Does that sound like a Pharisee? My son, the father said, you are always with me. You've always been with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. How could we not celebrate and be glad? Your brother, he was dead. And he's alive, and he was lost, and now he's found. How could we not celebrate? This is the greatest story in the New Testament, I think. What a powerful story, and I couldn't pass up our series without dealing with this and several characters, and it takes a little while, but I love the grace of God. It's free, and I suspect it's the gift that most of us ignore because we want to pay our own way. And even the prodigal, when he comes back, gets in his right mind. He wants to work as a slave. Pay me. I'll work it out. And the father shows and demonstrates incredible love and grace that you and I ought to just lift our hands and praise the Lord for. Amen? I mean, we're hardwired to work. We're hardwired to perform. And we want to present ourselves a little bit better than we are. We always have a little pride. How many know all of us have a little pride to deal with? And to deal with the prodigal and even the elder son, and even the Pharisees, the issue that hinders our grace-given moments is pride. The awful sin of pride, and it separates us from God. But grace, I tell you, it brings us to God. Amen? And we've been given some incredible parables, three of them here in Luke 15. One of the lost sheep, 99, were representative of the Pharisees. One lost sheep, and so Jesus said they had to celebrate. Hey, we found the lost sheep. Amen. I mean, a one lost soul we're shouting about. And all of heaven rejoices over one person that finds Jesus more than the 99. And then the lost coin, the woman sweeps the house out trying to find it. Why? Because the coin has value. The sheep has value. The son has value. But he asked the father for his inheritance. In other words, he just kind of insinuated, Lord or Father, I wish you were dead. I just wish you were dead. I'd like to have my portion. So in this culture, I just want to bring it out a little bit. In this culture, you were by law, was supposed to be given the inheritance. But to give it, you had to sell the property that belonged to him after he died. He's supposed to wait till his father died. So that's why the insinuation is, I just wish you were dead so I can get what belongs to me. Very selfish, self-centered. It'd be better for you to be dead, and I want to go away, and I want to squander everything. He lost sight of the grace of God. He didn't know how good he had it in the house of blessing. So he goes to a faraway country, as far as he could get, to get away from anybody to tell him what to do, to get away from any responsibilities. I don't want anybody to tell me what I want to do. It's my money. It's my life. I have it my way. And he goes as far as he can, and he don't need to be in the Father's house. I don't want to be with the Father. I don't want to be with my brother. I don't want to be with all those people. I don't want to be there. I'm going far away. And he takes off, and the Bible says he squandered it all, wasted it. And on frivolous and very immoral living. It's insinuated in the text. Jesus brings it out that he didn't do well. And he ends up, he had it made in the shade, but now he's in the pigsty. He hires himself out to another farmer in another country who works him like a slave, like a dog. And he's working pig farm of all the things. How many know? Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it makes you pay a price higher than you want to pay. He found himself starving to death under a cruel taskmaster. And his father treated him so well. How many know sometimes when you're in the Father's house, you just don't know how good you've got it? Somebody needs to thank the Lord this morning for his goodness and his grace, for his faithfulness to us. You don't have to be here today. You get to be here. What a difference in mindset. What a difference in attitude. But he wasted it, squandered it. And he says, you know what? Oh, wow. Sitting in the hog pen, he wanted to eat the husk of the hog, the slop from the remains of the hog didn't eat. I don't know if you've ever been in a hog pen. My grandfather had a farm, and we went to the farm, and they had hogs. Man, the stench, the mess, the filth. You know why hogs and pigs go in the mud and waddle around? It's because they have no pores. That's how they keep cool in the mud. That's how they do. They don't sweat. And so they waddle around in the mud, and here he is now. And he says, you know what? I don't remember having it that bad at my father's house. The Bible says he comes to his right mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, hey, I beg you that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you not be conformed to this world. There's nothing that the world has for you. Amen? You got it better in the Father's house. But sometimes we take for granted the love of the Father, and we waste it all. But said, I think I'm going to go back to the Father and ask him. He repented to heaven, so he knew better. How many know the boy had some knowledge? He repented to heaven. He repented to his father. And so he heads back to the house and his father. Wow. How many know the story is really about his father? This whole story is about Father God. The prodigal son is the one that gets all the credit of the story. We hear a little bit about the elder, and don't worry, we're not going to get past talking about the elder brother, because he represents a lot of us who can't stand hedonism and can't stand the way America and the filth of the world that's going on. They deserve it. Kind of the way we feel, don't we? Well, that's the way the Pharisees felt. It's an arrogance, as if we in this house haven't tasted of sin. Who are we to think that we deserved anything except for the grace of God? There go you and I. And I'm glad he's a God that gives mercy to unbelievers. I'm glad he's a God that gives grace to believers that decided to walk away and squander it all and waste it all. But the Pharisees, they're listening to this parable, and they're blown away by this shameful act of the Father, who takes off running. Fathers didn't run, and they certainly didn't pull up their skirt, their robe, and start running where the whole village could see, and the whole village is watching the father run, and they're thinking, who is he running to? Why is he running to that boy? He don't deserve that. He squandered his inheritance. He made the father sell the land. He didn't care if the father was dead. If it were me, I would give that boy what he deserves. But not the father. Not the father. The father, he takes off running. And he runs until he falls into the little boy falls into the hands of the father. He says, God, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. And I've come to work my way back. And the Father says, forget it, buddy. Grace can't be bought. You can't buy your way back in. But I can give you a celebration. I've been waiting for you since the day you left. If you're in here today and you're in a backslidden condition, Oak Grove has been waiting for this day for you to finally give up the ghost and come on home. We've been praying for the day that you get back into your senses. Some of you have kids and grandkids that have squandered and lost everything and walked away from God. But how many know God still saves prodigal sons and daughters? There is still grace available as long as his day, as long as Jesus is alive and hadn't come back yet. How many know there's hope for your family member? He said, kill the fatted calf. He told the servants, hey, kill the fatted calf. We've been fattening this calf up for you. I knew one day you would come home, boy. I knew it. Father, he believed that boy would come. Isn't that a great story? Here's my robe. Here's my robe. I know you took everything you thought you deserved, but you deserve so much more. Just to be in the Father's presence is all that prodigal realized he missed. But he thought he could come and just work. He came in like a slave. How many know? The relationship you have with God is not a slave-master relationship. It's a son-father, daughter-father. It's a very close relationship, and he proves it. And the Pharisees are like, I can't believe what kind of a Jewish father would kill the fatted calf. You understand the party wasn't for the prodigal. The party was for the father. It's his son, his cow, his robe, his fingers, his sandals. How many know it all belongs to the father? And he gives it over, lavishly gives it over to the son, said, I'm so glad you're home. Welcome home. I love you. Kissed him, hugged him. Let's party. Celebration time. Crank up the music. That which was dead is alive. My son has been gone, I don't know how long, and nothing. He was dying in a pig pen. He's home. Just like a soldier when he comes home. How many know our soldiers, when they come home, they deserve an applaud? You had a daughter who's been kidnapped and gone and traumatized. A parent, any parent that had any kind of love would celebrate. There's a big celebration going on. The older son, he's in the field. It's a story, so I'm preaching it like a story. Is that okay with you? I've got notes, but you don't need them. You need to listen. The older son is more of a picture of the Pharisees than anything else. The point of this parable is Jesus telling the Pharisees, who are upset with Jesus for sitting with sinners. And Jesus is setting the record straight. I've come for the sick. It's the sick that need a physician. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom. And all the religious leaders, Pharisees, saved bunch, heard the music and the dancing and the celebration and asked, what's going on in there? Notice everybody that went to the party didn't go for the prodigal. They went on behalf of the father. Because the whole village thought the father was shameful to run after the son in the first place. In fact, they thought it was pretty shameful to give the son his inheritance. How do you know that? Listen, the love of God is risky. It's risky to love people. It's hard sometimes to love people anyway. He didn't deserve it till he died. He didn't deserve the inheritance. But the father is not going to force and coerce you to love him and serve him. How awesome is the free will of God that he loves you enough to say, son, if you think you got smarter than me, you just go on. Here's your inheritance, buddy. I'll help you pack. And he lets him go. How hard is that? Any parent knows that's pretty tough. Pharisees think that the father is ignorant. What a shameful thing to do. and probably laughing under their breath. You know what, Father? That's probably what you deserve. Look at him. And yet, you're going to kiss him, hug him, put your robe on him, kill the fatted calf, and have a party for him? And then here the brother comes, and he don't come into the party. I'm afraid that some people have been saved so long, they're missing out on the party. When's the last time somebody got saved in your world? When's the last time you even got excited about somebody getting saved in your world? Hey, maybe we have developed a callous, cold heart. I've been in the church. I've been in this house all the time. Father, what's going on here? Said, your son is here. We had to do this. How can we not do this? Your son was practically dead. Pharisees, yeah, they should be dead to you. When he left, he should have been dead to you. Leaving Israel, leaving you, and leaving the house. And in that culture, if you did leave Judaism and leave Israel and leave your father's house, in the culture, how many are glad we're talking grace and not race? They would think you is dead to me. Like Kevin O'Leary, you're dead to me. You don't know who Kevin O'Leary is. It's a show on TV. What's the name of it? Shark Tanks. Seems like a few sharks in here today. It's hard preaching this message. I didn't know it'd be so hard. You're dead to me, boy. So the father wasn't like that, was he? He graced him. When's the last time you graced somebody? It's an awesome feeling. I'll tell you why we don't grace people. Arrogance. Self-righteousness. Pride. I deserve. So the younger brother says, what is going on? Why are you doing this? Hey, I've been here all this time, and you didn't give me at least even a little kid, a little goat. You're killing the fatted calf for him? I mean, he senses a little bit of jealousy. You're killing the fatted calf? I didn't even get a goat. I've never even left. I've been faithful. I've been so good to you and serving you. I just come out of the field. He'd been squandering. I mean, no, it's a dangerous thing to compare yourself to somebody else's walk. And you didn't even give me a goat so that I could kill it and have a party and celebrate with my friends. What is he saying? He had this superficial relationship with the Father. Listen to Pastor Ron. You can be in the Father's house and not have a real relationship with the Father. Yeah, it's happening every day in the churches in America. Can I tell you, you can be in church and not be in Christ? He has a superficial relationship. All he was concerned with was himself. That's what the Pharisees were doing. The father said, oh, with compassion, just tender, he goes outside. Son, what are you doing out here? Bubba, what are you doing out here? We're having a party. Your son's home. We're ecstatic. He's not dead. He's alive. He came to his senses. There's love here. There's family back in order. Restoration is back in order. We're a family again. Not him. No. He wasn't even going to invite his dad to his friend if he did get a goat to his friend's celebration. He certainly didn't even mention his brother's name. Your son. That son of yours. He didn't even acknowledge that he was his brother. Y'all looking at me strangely, but how many know in America, in the church in America, we have such division, such stuff going on in the house of the Lord where one don't even talk to the other. How many know you're not all that you think you are? Can I say, who do you think you are walking into this house and snubbing your nose up at anybody? How many know by the grace of God, we all got in here? But a spirit of religion and a Pharisaic attitude will come and harp on a place, and it won't take long when pride comes up and we think we got it all going on. And if everybody was like us, boy, we would be awesome. And if they want God, come on in and get it. That's not how the father treated it. The father went out and got him. Notice both sons. The son that was rebellious, he went and got him. The son that was self-righteous, he went out and talked to him. With a tender heart, Jimmy said, oh, my son, I don't have all the words. I have it in my notes, all the Greek word. But it's like, Pablo, it's like, mi hijo, my boy, my son. What are you doing? I've been here with you all along. And listen to this statement. Everything that I have is yours. All that. You know, if you wanted a ring, you could have the ring. You could have the robe. You could have the shoes. You could have it all. You could have it all. It's all yours. And when I die, it's all yours. But you don't even love me. You don't even want to be with me. You wouldn't even invite me to your party. And I don't know how it ends. It's 18 verses. Or like, there's 8 verses on the front end and then 8 more verses. Should be 16 verses. Should be 8 with the prodigal and 8 with the proud son. But Jesus leaves off the 8th verse. In our text, it doesn't say what the response was. Because Jesus is teaching the Pharisees and saying to them, hey, I'm wondering, I'm sure they're wondering, well, did he come into the party? I mean, did he come into the party? Did he hug? Did he kiss? Did he tell his father, I'm sorry? Did he repent like the first boy did? And he leaves it blank. 15 verses instead of 16 verses. And it leaves you to your own writing of the story. I mean, I would love to believe, say the older son came in. But it doesn't say. I'd love to believe that the Father, you know, same compassion, same grace, same offer, invited him to the party, but it doesn't tell us what he did. And I have a question for you as we close. Would you come into the party or not? I mean, we've all been invited. So it's a prodigal son, and then it's a proud son. But it's the pleasing son. Here's how the Pharisees would have wrote the end of the story. They would have taken a big piece of stick and beat the father. Or beat the son, I'm sorry. They'd have beat him with a stick, which is exactly what they did. They took a cross to beat the Son of God, the pleasing son, to a pulp. But he did that for them. But they, do you understand the story? Are you seeing the end of the story? Not many days later, they crucified the Lord of glory. And he was trying to tell them. He was trying to teach them. Don't you value one lost soul? All of heaven celebrates. So they misunderstood the Father. They did. They had a perversion of the Father's real love. Father loves them both. He offered them both the same thing. They both could have had a party. And every Sunday we get together, we have a party. Do you come in to celebrate? Are you excited when somebody gets saved? Are you excited when somebody's life is restored? It seems like it's so much more fun to celebrate a prodigal who a rebel who came back, you know, or who never knew and got saved than it is to find somebody who was saved and backslid and came back. But how many know his same salvation is offered? How many know God is good this morning? The Father loves you with a never-failing love, and he wants to forgive and reconcile. And he wants to see you come in. He wants to put his arm around you. He wants to bring you to the head table, sit you next to your brother. Wouldn't that be great? He could have sat him next to his brother. Your brother's home. He don't deserve it. If a drug addict got saved today, would you, you know, lift your nose up at him? Because you know what? When people get saved, they're not all cleaned up immediately. They don't come in smelling good. He smells like, well, you just imagine what that prodigal smelled like. But the father took his robe off. He ran after him, put on his robe, gave him his ring, put him on and give him his shoes, invited him back into his house, made him eat his calf at his dinner with his friends. But the older brother wanted no part of that. I wonder if you were invited, what would you do? Would you be happy? It's easy to get bitter. Do you want your share? No matter how you are, what your attitude is today, Father God would risk embarrassment. He doesn't really care what anybody in the village thinks. He would risk it all to pull up his skirt and run down halfway down the hill to meet your stinky pigsty smelling life. So I'll get saved when I get good. How many know you're never going to get good? And you can't come in. You're his son, not his slave. There's no job offer for slaves, not in the Father's house. Can I tell you, folks, there's no slaves in this Father's house. You're either a son or a daughter, or you're not, I guess, right? Or a friend. So he wants to give you all that he has stored up to give you. Do you want him dead? Do you wish him dead? I mean, the elder son wished he was dead. They both wished he was dead. Why? So they can get what they had come. Tired of serving you. And if you have a slave mindset, you're going to miss the moral of the story. We're no longer slaves. We're sons and daughters of the King. And he's coming back to get us. I don't know where you want to be when Jesus comes, but I want to be in the Father's house. Chrissy, I want you and the team to come back. We got plenty of time. It's only 15 after 11. We got 15 minutes to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, if we bored you already, and if you came and you got somewhere to go because everything in your life is way more important than God's presence, if you got to go make money, buy a cow, or whatever you got to go do, if wealth is more important than worship, take off. Nobody's going to judge you. You've judged yourself. If being in the party is some resentment in your heart, there has to be an attitude adjustment. I remember being in the youth group when I wasn't in the group. But I wasn't a youth. I was a leader because I was already too old. I didn't get saved till I was 18, but I was a leader. And the youth pastor would say, "Attitude check," and all the youth would say, "Praise the Lord." Yeah. Brother Allman remembers that. Brother Allman, were you in CAs? No? You were before CAs. That's your attitude check in your church. Yeah. Well, we'd say, praise the Lord. Can I tell you, we're not getting ready for a funeral. We're getting ready for a wedding supper. I don't know why the church is so depressed and sad and miserable. I mean, no, we're getting ready. And this is our goal, is to bring as many prodigals and proud sons and daughters into this house. That's why this fall we're focusing in on evangelism. Say, Pastor, I don't know how. Oh, yeah, you do. You tell everybody all about everything else you got. I said, you have passion. It's just misplaced. You have understanding. Just misunderstood. You have the ability and the availability. Some people say, I don't have time. I don't know how to lead somebody to Christ. I don't know what to do. Can I tell you? We have cards made up for you that you could put a piece of tape over your mouth and we could help you walk somebody into an invitation. This is not hard. And to me, the moral of this story is God's not making it hard. Pharisees made it hard because they're work conscious. That's why all the false religions of the world are work conscious. 12 steps, 5 steps, 7 steps to nirvana or whatever else. Are y'all hearing me? But for grace, full and free. How many thankful for the full and free salvation that only comes by the grace of Almighty God? So pastor's not here to coerce. God let the prodigal go. He's here to connect you, to stay fresh in love with the Father and get a new perspective. And that's what happened to the prodigal. He found out that he had no friends over there. A little bit of money, listen to what a little bit of money would do. A little bit of money will connect you in the world for a little while. But they will so use you. I mean, no, the world will use you up and spit you out. And you'll end up in the same hog pen as everybody else who chooses the world. John said, love not the world nor the things of the world. If the love of the world is in you, what? The love of the Father is not. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. You have to make up your mind. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Let's stand together. I don't know who's in the building under what circumstances you're in. But the prodigal returned to the Father. His ways, his protection. I mean, somebody could have killed him out there. I mean, no, that's a mad world out there. Could have gave him his protection, gave him his provision, gave him all that he needed. He fed him. He gave him his belief system back. He got his vision back, got his bounce back. Sometimes people lose their way. We're not here to condemn prodigals. We're not even actually here to condemn the proud Pharisees, although Jesus did a really good job. When I look through the Gospels, I try to find, Josiah, I try to find some conversions amongst the Pharisees. And I see Nicodemus. He came at night. How many of you night crawlers, Christians? I don't mind talking to Jesus, but I don't want anybody to see me talking to Jesus. Maybe Josephus. Paul, who was a Pharisee of all Pharisees, but how many know he got knocked down on the ground? So my point is this, if you want to open up the way of grace, you have to remove the arrogance and the pride that's in the way. Whether it's Pharisaical pride or whether it's thinking that you got it, you can handle this all by yourself and you don't need the Father, just give me what you owe me. And I tell you, God doesn't owe you anything. You owe him everything. So we're going to worship the Lord this morning. Pray with me, Father, right now, God. I pray that you help us respond to the Father's love. We already got our share. I don't know why we need any more. You've given us every spiritual gift we could possibly get. You've helped us, Lord. Something valuable was lost. Something valuable was intensively searched for and found. And then the Father graced us with a great, great showing of love. More than we needed it. It was ridiculous. The way to the lengths that he went to show his love for his son. Gave him a place of honor in his family. Offered grace that is undeserved, unwanted. What works cannot buy and do, it's only given by grace. And Lynn, Lord, like Martha, who was upset with Mary, the older brother was upset with the younger. My God, help us. Help us get rid of all the shame, the disdain. Help us learn how to celebrate, enjoy the party. If there's anybody here today that has family members who are away from God, I would love to have you come to believe God for prodigal sons and daughters. We'll wait on you. If anybody here has a self-righteous, Pharisaical spirit and the Lord has convicted you, I welcome you to come in the altar and stand here with me. I've been convicted myself. I got to tell you, Oak Grove, I've been convicted personally myself. I've had the audacity to think of some people, wicked people today, in a way that wasn't, I don't know, that I even had a hint of mercy or grace. It was more like accusational, more like they don't do right and they're never going to do right. But I want you to know that God's grace is way beyond more than you could ever go. If you drew the line on your friends or your family, if you drew the line where you drew somebody out, I pray today the Holy Spirit would erase your line and enlarge your circle so that you can start including people into your life. If you have family members that need prayer, if you want prayer yourself, we're going to worship the Lord. No shameful response here. The Lord says he's always been with you. It's over the top. It's over the top. 8 times, my child, my son, my son. Grieving, painful, agonizing, compassion, and love, and mercy. Endearing terms. That's the heart of the Father toward this wretched hypocrite. So if you're feeling hypocritical today, you make your way up here. Let's worship today. Come on, let's worship today. Oh, one of my favorite songs. Sing it with us. Lord, I'm amazed. Woo. My God. We had to be Mary.
Lord, I'm amazed.
We had to rejoice. Your son was dead. He's alive.
Lord, I'm amazed.
We're amazed this morning, God, at your grace.
How you love me.
Think about the Father's heart. Heaven's heart over one person that repents. What does it mean to repent? What does it mean to repent? To turn around. To change my mind.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Come on, you're invited to the party. Come on, you can come. Come on.
How wide.
We're overwhelmed by your grace, Father.
How deep.
Your tenderness. Your mercy, your kindness, your offer.
And how great is your love.
So many things we could talk about. Give me my portion. Give me mine. It's all yours. You don't have to fight for it. God has already given it all to you. I wish you would, Oak Grove Health Pastor Al. Just lift both your arms to the Lord. Come on, lift both your hands. And let's just thank the Lord for his amazing grace. It's been applied to your life and mine. Titus said the grace of God has appeared to all men. Jesus went to the cross. They didn't beat him. He beat himself. He took it. He initiated. He's the one that owns it all. He's the one that did it all. And he's the one that deserves all the praise. So we're going to sing it again. If you're taking care of business with God, it's just between you and him. Ask God to remove any animosity, any resentment, any anger. Get it out of the way and let's serve the Lord together. Come on, let's sing it. We love you, Father God. He's not expecting perfection from you.
Perfect in all of your ways.
He's expecting repentance.
Perfect in all of your ways.
Turn your heart to the Father.
Perfect in all of your ways. To you are.
Share something with you as we walk out of here. I want to pray for prodigal sons and daughters. I want to pray for a Pharisaic spirit. May it be eradicated in the church today. Pride has to go. But the Lord shared something with me years ago, because I get torn. That's why I guess I got convicted over the years sometimes, because it seemed like there's so much wickedness and I didn't want to condone it. I seemed to want to condemn it. And I don't mind condemning wickedness. But in the meantime, I don't want to condemn wicked people. You remember, hate the sin, but love the sinner? Remember that? So the Lord gave me this phrase. I'll give it to you, and I'll pray for you. Hey, never condone the wicked, and never condemn the righteous. I'm not here to condone people's evil ways and behaviors. But if we're not careful, like the Pharisees, we can just begin to believe that they deserve that, those wicked people. They got what's coming to them. Hey, friends, what if we got what was coming to us? All have sinned. Don't you remember? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are standing in need of a Savior. So we got to eradicate pride. And I want to be with you today in this altar to say, strip me of every ounce of pride. If you're here and you want to pray that prayer with me, say, Father God, strip me of every ounce of pride. Help me to see people the way you see people, so that I, even though I'm not endorsing, condoning evil behavior, I'm not condemning people. It's big. It's big. It has separated. Satan has used it to separate the world from the church. So church almost now begins to despise the people of the world. I mean, that's who Jesus came to save. So Satan is doing a big number on us to bridge the gap. We have to bring in grace, remove arrogance, and bring grace. Father God, right now, would you eradicate pride from my heart? I repent toward heaven and toward you, Lord. And toward every unbeliever, every prodigal, every evil person that I have condemned, because I am not the judge. I still don't condone evil behavior. I will never condone evil behavior. But God, help me in my spirit never to condemn evil people. They will get their day when you decide to separate the sheep from the goats. But don't let me be the one who thinks I'm the Savior, that I'm the judge, that I'm the one. Help me be on the side of mercy. Lord, put a tender spirit in my heart. Lord, help me to pray for unbelievers, for prodigal sons and daughters. We bring them before you. Come on, church. If you have sons, daughters, nephews, nieces, uncles, aunts, fathers, mothers, people who knew the Lord maybe and fallen away, call on God right now on their behalf. Intercede. Let the intervening grace come. Because God is so good, that he gives them free will. Because he's never going to force us to serve him. But may we come to our senses and have enough sense to serve the Lord because we love him, not for what we could get out of him. Help us, Lord, this fall to think about ways to bring people into the kingdom, to go to people that may not be just like us, to make an invitation at a restaurant. If there's any way we can help Oak Grove, to put it in their spirit, to be evangelical in their spirit, sharing good news that there's a party waiting on them. Not a bad news that we're going to another religious, legalistic, institutional meeting. Father, we want to celebrate with you. Bring sons and daughters home. Mend broken hearts of parents, family members. Help us open our own hearts to repent, change our mind about the way we see the lostness of man. May we value them the way you value them. May we run outside and get them the way you run outside and meet them. And may we have the compassion that you have. And help us to understand that you're God and we're not, and that you can have compassion on whoever you want. You can have mercy on whoever you want. So, Lord, save. Help us to do our part to bring people into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout it. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's give the Lord praise for the sons and daughters who are coming in this week.